Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Slacker and Steve on demand.
I don't even know why we're doing this. Air terror. This is a bad idea.
There's a lot of stories, but you're right. I'm going to freak out.
You don't get afraid, do you?
I don't. Not on flights,
But... Are you genuinely not? I have a fear.
Oh, you. Which part? What are you fearing on a plane?
Death.
Oh, that's okay.
But I fear the death, but then I also accept it.
Welcome it.
Well, because
long for it.
The sweet release. Oh my God, get me out of this job and this marriage and this life. No, I just. Wow, that got ugly so fast.
Well,
I know that if something goes wrong, we're probably dead, right?
Yeah. It's like you always say, the second you purchase that ticket and you have your boarding pass, you've already decided your fate.
You have.
Yeah.
If something's going wrong, it's going wrong.
There's no turning back.
So, and there's nothing you personally can do.
Pretty much not, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, little D plays Flight Simulator all the time, and then he's like, something goes wrong, but I can go up there. Yeah. They're literally going to be like, all right. We would ask for former military people, but does anybody play that Microsoft Flight Simulator thing? Because we're going to give you first crack at this bird.
Where's that skinny kid that said that he's an expert on flight simulator?
Don't even try to defend your point, Little
It's
B.
90% computers flying the plane
That's
now
true.
Anyways.
That's true.
It doesn't even matter now.
I just read an article that says that we're not even going to have pilots anymore. Just like the cars that do themselves, planes are going to do it now.
All you do is they take off, they pull back on the stick, and then they go, dook, autopilot.
Basically.
Is
and
that
then
the sound
like,
it makes?
Yeah.
Oh, it can
is.
Can I hear it again?
On Flight Simulator. It's got a duke to it.
So here's the question. We're going to talk air terror, and there's a few stories here. Little D, are you going to be able to screen these calls and then ever go on another trip with us?
Probably not.
Okay, so this was, we've traveled together for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Starts with Jennifer Lawrence had an incident at 31,000 feet.
Like a bad one.
Basically, the private plane had two pilots, one in... one of the engine issues happened.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the engine issues were?
Huh.
It says, due to the left engine, they made an emergency landing in Buffalo due to the left engine issue.
Yeah.
The other engine had given out already.
Yeah. So they were
down. They're coming in on one engine.
Yeah.
That's the kind of air terror we're talking about. Have you been involved in an incident like that? We're not trying to shut down the industry. We're just trying to talk to people who've been in situations like that. Like, I have been on a plane. I don't even know why this happened. When I think about this, I was flying from Mexico to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And we start descending. As, you know, I'm one of those geeks who will watch the channel that is your plane flying or whatever. And we started descending as soon as we crossed the border into America.
And that's like, not normal.
No, duh, because we're flying all the way into Colorado, right? And so we start going down. The pilot comes on. And he's like, we're making a landing in Laredo, Texas. And it was like, wow, okay. That's a weird spot, but okay. I don't know why. Maybe there's a medical emergency or something. And then we get down low enough to land in Laredo and we fly. We're landing, we went back up. We did that three different times. And what we later found out, we're flying past the tower.
Oh.
So they could see if our landing gear was
there. Yeah. Sometimes they have to dispatch you like a fighter jet to fly alongside you to keep an eye on it.
But how would they? I guess maybe they knew, they weren't sure if it went up a second we took off from Mexico. But then they were like, let's not deal with it here. Let's just fly into the first stop we can make in America and set this plane down.
So they wouldn't even touch down. They would just,
we would just
throttle
fly
back
right
up.
By the, yes. So you're getting down. You're like, oh my God, we're landing. Oh my God, we're going back up. And they're not telling you anything.
And they did it two more times.
Yes.
Wow.
And then they still weren't 100% sure. And we were like, so we had to like, we weren't doing the brace thing, but we were ready to get like, If we didn't feel landing gear, it was like, brace, brace, brace.
Wow.
We were in for it, dude.
But they never told you.
Not until later.
I had something like that happen when I was on a plane once. We were getting ready to land and took off right away again. And we took off like super vertical. I mean, like almost like space shuttle vertical.
Okay.
And like the pilot got on right after and he was like, sorry, we couldn't land. There was some traffic on the runway. And I was sitting on the side that was facing the runway. And so I kind of like turned out and looked and there was nothing on the runway. It was completely clear. And so I was like, what just happened? Why did and
they're lying to you?
Yeah, they were like giving us a cover story and we never found out what it was.
Whoa.
It was probably the landing gear thing.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
Dang.
So that's a couple versions of air terror. Here's a completely different one. Apparently there was a flight going to Ibiza.
That's my kind
from
of
Manchester to Ibiza. And if you've seen the stills, I haven't watched it. Is there a video or just stills?
I believe there is video. It's very blurred out video, but yeah.
The girl gets up. She faces the guy and sits on his lap.
Yes. And then they start going to town.
They're definitely.
And they didn't care.
The town they're going to is not Ibiza.
It's naughty town.
They literally had relations on the plane. And they don't care.
They
now
didn't.
I know that doesn't sound terrifying, but these people aren't people you'd want to see.
Oh, I was going to ask.
They're not terrible.
That's why. Okay, I was going to.
It's not the worst thing ever because they. Well, I mean,
they wouldn't have gotten arrested if they were hot, but since they weren't,
yeah, okay, probably. Well, I mean, yeah, certain you'd have to. You have to be a certain size to be able to fit two of you in a normal airline.
I know what you're saying.
So that I mean, it's not horrifying. Not that, oh God, I'm just making it so much worse. Can somebody else talk? Nope. All right.
And I guess they finished and everything. And
I don't know if they finished. Did they finish?
Flight attendants?
I don't think they did. Yeah, no, people pulled them apart, but they like no blankets, no cover. Nothing. Just.
And we were reading, I don't know if these are from Reddit or like some sort of confession, but like a flight attendant said there, she walked by a couple. The woman was underneath the blanket and she was lying on the guy's lap.
Okay, gotcha.
And then she went by, she sent her coworker by, her coworker checked and like, that's going on. So they're like, all right, let's go back with beverage service to like interrupt them. And by the time they got back, they had finished. And then at the end of the flight, the woman tried to turn the blanket back in to the airline. And the flight attendant was like, why don't you keep that? You might need it for your next flight.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that gross?
That is super gross because as we all know, they don't wash the pillows or those blankets.
They have to because they put them in plastic.
Mm-hmm, but it takes, just don't touch them.
All right, then there's a couple stories about scorpions on planes. And I mean, we're going to keep telling you our stories, but
terror.
What we really want is your terror. Have you been on one of those planes where there was a plane where the pilots, they'd waited 40 hours and the pilots looked back to the people and said, we're not positive both engines are going to work, so let's take a vote on the plane.
I know, right?
Should we go for it or should we not go for it?
When the vote comes down to the passengers and the pilots are handing the responsibility over to me.
And there was only like 12 people on the plane who wanted him to gun it.
40 hours. Oh, so that was
there was 12 people who wanted it, and then there was mutiny on the plane. People were like, oh, come on, let's just go.
Oh, no way.
And the rest of people were like, get me off this thing.
Dang.
If there's only the pilot said there's a 50-50 shot the engines won't work.
That's after sitting on this thing for 40 hours.
40 hours.
40!
I know.
Oh.
That's the kind of air terror stories we're looking for. If you've been involved in something horrifying involving an airplane, we want to talk to you. Tracy?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
We're good.
How are you guys
terror.
Doing today? Mine was when I was moving to Japan and I had a layover in Hawaii and there was a bomb on the actual plane that blew up. This was in the early 80s, so we had to stay over two nights because of that.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
So a plane had already blown up and they just grounded everybody else?
Well, no, the plane was being grounded because it blew up. So we can go continue our flight to Japan.
The plane that was supposed to take you to Japan had blown up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they couldn't get another plane out there?
Well, they had us layover and got new planes, I guess. I can't remember. I was a teenager, so.
Were you had to be frightened out of your mind, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a long flight.
Yeah.
It is,
yeah,
isn't it?
To have a layover in Hawaii. I mean, who can?
I mean, really yeah, you can't really complain about that. It's like, oh, we have to stay in paradise for like 3 days. Oh,
but there might be a bomb on
our
plane when we get back.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? My brother, one of my brothers, flew on September 11th, September 11th.
Wow!
And had no idea. Like he was flying into San Francisco, so he was in the air when it all happened, and the pilots like were just dead side. Like all the pilots and the flight attendants knew by the time these planes, they were starting to tell these planes, just get down. We don't know which planes are compromised and which aren't. So they finally landed in San Francisco and they literally were just screaming, leave your stuff and run off the plane. Everybody had to just run.
Okay, I wouldn't know how to take that.
No, you're like, what are you talking about?
Right?
Because they didn't know if it was all knives, if it was bombs, like what? I remember him telling me it was like I was running across. They let him off like with the stairs, and not into the airport, running across the tarmac.
Run.
I mean, can you imagine that?
No.
That's maybe we should have called it something other than terror.
Besides, I don't run, so
I know. Steve's like, well, I'm going to saunter and plod.
There we go.
I hope that's okay with you guys. Laura?
Nye.
What do you got?
I got getting stuck in a huge, terrible thunder and lightning storm of Atlanta. We couldn't get above the clouds, and we couldn't go back to where we had come from. So we had to circle in the storm through tremendous turbulence. We kept dropping like 10 feet at a time.
Dang.
And then heading back up a little and tilting, and everybody on the plane was like screaming and praying, and that went on for an hour in that storm before we could finally land. So it was pure hell up in the sky.
Whoa.
Because if you've ever been on a plane, when we feel turbulence, that's the plane dropping maybe 10 feet.
Right.
But like when you're on a plane that drops a significant amount of feet all at once.
Yeah.
Talking about somebody he knew was on a plane? They dropped like 10,000 feet in a couple seconds. Anybody who was walking around
was now on the roof.
Was literally on the roof. And if you weren't buckled in, you're just like
weightlessness kind of thing.
Yes.
You're just kind of like floating.
Full on. Yeah, so when you're in a storm, could you feel like, I understand that planes take lightning hits a lot more than we realize.
Yeah.
Could you feel it? Could you see lightning hitting the plane?
Oh God. Yeah. Oh yeah. It was all over a bunch of people shut their windows cause they didn't want to see it, but some had the windows open cause they'd rather see if they're going to die. But, it was constant lightning probably every few seconds. It was lightning. The whole plane would light up. And
it wasn't just you. There was tons of planes in that.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm sure. Which would be even scarier because, I don't know how tons of planes circle that close together. But it was definitely
it was like NASCAR up there.
Oh my God. That is my scariest thing. When you're in a holding pattern, like Die Hard, you're like, oh my God, that is awesome. Thank you for the story. We're glad you lived through your thing. Megan?
Yay.
Air terror.
So this is my grandfather's story. He was a pilot in the Northern Territories of Canada. And he and a friend were flying back with their cargo, which happened to be a moose. And it was so heavy that the bottom of the plane just fell out. And they found him 2 days later, unconscious, floating on debris in the lake.
What the? The moose or your grandpa? Okay. It's like, okay.
Both. He's riding the moose. So the plane crashed then when the bottom fell out.
Yes. It did, in a lake.
Wow, how lucky.
I guess he had nightmares about it for a really long time afterwards, but he still flew, so.
I bet he's not a big game hunter either.
Right?
Oh my God.
He dropped all that way and then survived.
How high up was he, do you think?
30,000 feet or something?
No, come on!
I don't think he was that high, but to me, any height falling from a plane is scary.
Yeah, so we had to be a small plane if a moose can break it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it was. Wow. It was
but still, I never knew you could put it, just fly me a moose back to Canada. That's okay. Thank you for the call, Megan. That's terrifying. John?
Yay!
Air terror. Terrified.
Air terror for sure.
What happened?
So me and my ex-wife, we were in a hot air balloon in Napa Valley.
Nice.
And the baskets hold like 19 people and like 6 tanks of whatever that is they heat up the inside of the balloon with, right?
Okay.
So the first balloon goes off and we go off and we're watching, we're at about 2,500 feet, which is pretty high in the basket of a balloon. And we watch the other balloon go down in a schoolyard, and then this guy goes, the weather's changing and blowing us out of the way. We ended up out of fuel for the hot air balloon. There's 17 people in this basket, and we're going down at a pretty good angle. And we get over this vineyard, and this lady comes out with a shotgun and says, "You're not landing this here." And he goes, "We've got no choice." So he goes, "I want everybody to lean on one side of the basket, tuck your heads in." So here we go, crashing through this vineyard with all these wires for the grapevines. And it was insane. And look,
you're ruining her livelihood, by the way. That's why she's mad. She's like, "This is my life. And if you crash a balloon into it, it's going to take me 20 years to get the vines back up."
Ugh.
Slacker, I wasn't the pilot.
No, I know. I'm not defending her or being mad at you. I mean, no, nobody had a choice.
It was absolutely her livelihood. Well, the guy flying the balloon says, "We've got no choice. We're out." He's screaming, "We've got no choice. We're out." So she waved her hand to go ahead. And luckily, we were in the part of her vineyard, which was dead. It was dead vine.
Oh,
but it was,
man.
They still had the, you know, the wires and everything. It was crazy. And then when they finally got the vans to us, the kid driving the van buried the back end up to the axle in mud.
Oh.
So it was like... it was like just this whole fiasco.
Oh,
anyway.
My God.
I wasn't even expecting hot air balloons. I can tell you this right now. I've had offers 100 different times to go up in one. Right? I didn't need this call. I would never get in one of those things.
Yeah, I did once.
I am so with you. My lady I'm with now, we've been together 11 years, and she said she wanted to go on a hot air balloon for her birthday.
Nope.
So I gave her the money, and they went up 100 feet, and they had to come back down. There was a problem with the balloon, and I said, "I told you,
yeah.
I told you, don't do that. They can't steer. People."
No, you're in the wind. You're at the mercy of, when you went up, everything was fine?
It was, yeah. It feels like you're not moving and that the earth is just moving
spinning underneath you.
But you're right. Eventually, you run out of things to throw overboard all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now you're just, yeah.
No thanks.
I know.
All right, more of your flight scariness, air terror stories over on the Slacker and Steve Facebook page.
Slacker and Steve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.